As long as you're assertive, it's okay.
Okay.
You can get off of that thing.
Okay. Do I just press the? Got it. Okay.
Oh.
According to Rajo, she's already at.
I'll be right back.
Were they good?
I just saw Adam yesterday.
No, she texted yesterday afternoon. Oh, how's our hour now?
Better chicken wings on Saturday.
He's rough.
I know. Or Sunday.
My daughter brought one home. She was like, she's the smallest kid in the school. I heard Donald. Yeah, that's what
she used to be
wearing. I bet. I'm only called the Mitch.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to call the meeting to order at 7:01.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
good evening and welcome. As I said, we'll call the meeting order at 7:01. As always, at this time of year, in honoring and remembrance of 9/11, if we could have a 30-second pause of reflection for the victims. As we remember 9/11, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I continue to say it's important that our children and future generations understand the history of that tragic day. Mr. Bartlett is excused. His mother passed away. We're in the early stages of COVID when things were closed down. And today was the funeral, I believe, and tomorrow was the luncheon or vice versa. So our thoughts are with Dave and his family. I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the agenda as presented. We do have an additional resolution. That's resolution number 10 that has been hand carried in. Moved by Kristen and seconded by Roger. Is there any discussion? So that'll be the agenda as presented with resolution number 10. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion is carried 6-0. We have someone in attendance tonight, which seems very abnormal. It's been a long 6 or 5 months, so we welcome Teddy Bean. She's going to give us a presentation. She's welcome to join us because she is part of our faculty and staff. So Teddy, it's all yours. I hope the beginning of school has been rewarding and easy for the first week.
Well, it's great to be back and great to see the kids. So some exciting news. We were selected as the winner of a $15,000 grant from America's Farmers Grow Rural Education. So as part of this, local farmers can nominate our school and we can receive multiple nominations. And once we've been nominated, they let us know and we write a grant for STEM education and it's for a total of $15,000. So we were very excited when we heard our grant went on to the next round and we were even more excited that we actually received the $15,000. So our grant was titled On the Cutting Edge of STEM Education. And I worked with Mr. Slurry on this and we are going to buy a sawmill, a portable sawmill for our programs. It's gonna be something we're gonna work on together. Me with the forestry curriculum and we can probably get some of our science department in on that as well, like Mrs. Bibbins and Mr. Slurry, of course. So we're looking forward to being able to process and use some of our own wood, and it'll be awesome to use in our shop class as well, so the students can really see it from tree to table. Along with that, we were thinking for sustainability purposes that maybe we could get some local people to donate a tree, or if we had to take one down in the park, maybe that's something we could use for student projects as well. Our BOCES doesn't currently offer forestry, but other BOCES do, so we thought this would be a great addition to our school and teach our students a skill that maybe they couldn't receive elsewhere. I know as I was writing it, a couple of kids were popping into my mind and I was thinking about how much they would enjoy using this.
Excellent.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And Bayer has sent some swag, so there's some water bottles and hats and pens and stuff I left for you guys to take with you.
Cool. Thank you very much. Kudos to you for securing that grant again. That's great.
Yeah. I was wondering if we could get a picture tonight with Teddy and the board and the check that we could send it into NISBA with an article about this from the board to publicize the great programs that we have going on here.
I'd be glad to. For Teddy's sake, I think we should take a 5-minute intermission to get this picture out of the way now so she can go on and be with her family.
Excellent.
Okay. Is that okay with everyone?
Yep.
So we will take a 5-minute pause at 7:06. We shall return promptly.
Okay.
Where would we like to take us? Maybe in front of the flagpole, in front of the school?
Yeah, that's great.
The weather's great.
Great, okay.
Teddy, I'm also, I commend you for working not necessarily across party aisles, but across all aisles. You know, Matt, and your science program, that's great.
Oh, good job.
Maybe we can do the same PR with Watertown Times too. Watertown Times with some local spotlight.
We'll get a quote from you for this as well.
Thanks again, Teddy. Best of luck for the rest of the school year.
Thank you very much.
Anything, don't be a stranger.
Okay.
Stuff to go over.
Thank you.
Glad to see you amongst all this program. Teddy's leadership continues to thrive and be successful, so that's very, very good stuff. Are there any other presentations?
Nope.
We will move on to the calendar of events. Any additions, corrections, questions?
How was the turnout for the flu clinic today?
The clinic?
Yeah.
We had 36 people. Twice as many as last year for the vaccinations. It was excellent.
Any other questions? Community of Caring update. How do you report? That's good and bad. highlights and no sadness. We will move on to consent agenda. Entertain a motion. It's been moved by Adams. I'm gonna give that to Kristen. Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 6-0. Resolution number 2, underneath personnel, extending the superintendent's agreement.
Move it.
Second. Moved by Kristen, seconded by Kyle. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0.
To Jane, if you want to come with us longer.
Yeah.
She heard that.
Absolutely.
I know, she chuckled. I didn't know she heard you.
Substitute pay rates. Resolution number 3.
Move it.
Moved by Adams, seconded by?
Kristen.
Kristen? Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Approved retirement. Philip Gleason.
Move it.
Second.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Anthony. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Leave of absence request for our English teacher, Melanie Berry.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is carried 6-0. Approved substitute teacher, Cheryl Shade.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Anthony. Any discussion? We should remember Cheryl Shade. She one time was a teacher here, employed here. I don't see that there's any need for discussion. She was employed. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Jared Brown, substitute cleaner. Resolution number 7.
Move it.
Moved by Adam. Seconded by Kyle. Any discussion? Jared's a graduate. He's local. I think we all are familiar with Jared. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Substitute cleaner. Resolution number 8. Richard Bacon, Jr.
Move it.
Moved by Kristen.
Second.
Seconded by Adam. Mr. Story.
He is currently working at Cheney Tire and has been since the summer of 2019. Local graduate from not Belleville Henderson, but from another school district locally, and also attended Bosie's while he was in high school for building maintenance, small engine.
Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 6-0. Approved item for donation, disposal, and/or public sale. This is bus number 90.
Move it.
Adam, Kristen, Adam and Kristen. I believe this is the bus that we discussed before. They give us X amount. We said put it up to Auctions International if we could get a little bit more, right? So
yep.
The bus, the same bus?
Same bus. Same bus. So we'll be putting that either on the auction or the website. The trade-in value is $4,000. So if we get anything above that, then we'll go with the other options.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Resolution number 10, the hand carried resolution, is on a separate sheet. Approve a stipend. This is for Mr. Griffith. It's been moved by Kristen. Is there a second?
Second.
Roger. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Excellent. Start with some policy. Three policies tonight. First reading of each. Who's worked on this closely, Sally? Jane? Is there anything we need to know for the first one? 3250.
Now, basically, this is all a reflection of the pandemic and where we are with the reorganizing with having a choice between, you know, hybrid or full in or remote. If we have to go to the remote learning, this is a policy that gives us guidance on how to implement that and remote working as well. So it's something that has caught up with us finally. Our policy service sent these to us. They reflect what's out there written by the State Education Department and gives us something to have now in board policy. So it's a good thing to have done. we're recommending that between the first and the second reading, we sit down and we look at this with our teachers for the remote working section, and the remote learning will review on how we are doing the learning piece. And you're gonna have a presentation later tonight, when Ashley does her presentations about remote learning and how we are, how that's working for us. So I was pleased to see the service come forward with these. And they just did August 31st was their first, when they sent them out.
Excuse me, okay, if you will bring us a second reading and seek approval?
Yes. At the next meeting. Okay.
Any discussion? Questions? We'll move on to the board's review. Letter from Wynn Smith that I shared with everyone. Jane has followed up with them.
I've tried, I'm gonna continue to try.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
And this book convention, which is virtual.
Nobody?
No one. Adam?
Yeah, if they wanna do anything in the evening, I'd love to.
Any interest in participating virtually?
If you'd like me to, I'd be happy to do it on behalf of the board. If that's something that's important.
Is there?
I mean, that's up to you based on your schedule. I know it's very busy and active.
Okay.
So here's the. So here's the question, I guess. If we wanted to do one and share it, if there's certain things that are up to interest,
mm-hmm.
are we gonna get a big no-no or don't ask, don't tell?
I think we could have Sally inquire about one that could be shared. And I think that would be a legitimate question. Then we could get back
rather
to
rather than paying
multiple.
Multiple for
one for the
one, you know, if you go across all of us here that, you know,
right.
maybe somebody picks out something that's interesting.
Right.
That maybe they could jump on for an hour or two.
Right.
Rather than four or five days of virtual.
Yes. That's a great idea.
So that was the only thing I was looking at was, is it worth it to do the $260 for one or two things?
Yeah. I think we reach out to the gentleman that was here that was promoting it and ask him if we could have that be our arrangement.
Patrick Longo.
Yeah.
Okay, we will continue on to the business manager where we will start the reports, and first on the list will be business manager, Mr. McGough.
Okay.
Should be in front of you.
Hand out my report from the beginning. I'll start with a quick audit update. The audit is still in process. We're still on track to hit the SED submission deadline of October 15th. And as of right now, Carly and Aaron will be presenting to the board on November 9th. I worked with Mindy a little bit today, and she shared some things happening with the cafeteria right now. As of late last week, all breakfast and lunch are now free until December 31st. So a lot of the rules that allowed for free lunch for pickup and delivery during the closure last with the shutdown last year was extended. So as of right now, up until the 31st of December, all breakfast and lunch are free for all students. It is still important that families that still feel like they need to submit the free and reduced lunch application still do that, because once January 1st hits, if this is not extended, then those applications would have to be in order to be receiving the free and reduced. So we're working out an email to send out on Parent Square to notify all parents of this and let them know what the appropriate steps still are to take in order to receive those benefits after this extension. Currently, we're serving breakfast to students as soon as they walk into the door. So students are grabbing a breakfast from our cafeteria staff and taking it right to their classroom. We found that kind of streamlined the whole process and gave the teacher a little more time early in the mornings, allow them to start their teaching a little bit sooner. We're still delivering lunch to the classrooms, and we created a Google form that the teachers fill out first thing in the morning. It's been going really smooth. We made it really simple. It's so that they submit a form and all the data gets sent right to Mindy first thing in the morning, so the cafeteria staff knows exactly how many lunches they need to prepare for the day. To start the year, we're serving about 100 to 150 lunches per day, which is probably a little more than 50% of the population each day. So we're definitely close to, if not a little bit higher than what our numbers have been in the past in terms of percentage of the population. In the resolution four, when we talked about the bus, it's a 2010 Bluebird, 72-person capacity, 129,320 miles, diesel fuel. In terms of the financial update, the CARES application funding was submitted to the state on time. So it was our ESSA application, and we're just awaiting approval on those submissions. I just wanted to remind everyone, as we talked about in the last meeting, there's the temporary withholding of 20% of aid payments for July. So for July and August, Department of Budget only approved general support for public schools, aid payments to school districts, including general aid excess cost aid and BOCES aid at 80%. We did talk about this a little more extensively in the last meeting and how that could affect us. Again, these withholdings right now are temporary, but they will become permanent if there isn't some sort of federal funding to supplement them. The Department of Budget plans to provide a detailed aid to localities reduction plan toward the end of the second quarter of the state's fiscal year, which is the end of this month. So at the end of this month, hopefully by the next board meeting, we'll have a little more information on what the Department of Budget is going to let us know what our aid situation is going to look like for the year.
Will that be specific to our district, or will that be a generic?
I believe it's going to be specific to the district.
Okay.
The way it was described by Questar BOCES was that it'd be similar to like the state aid runs that we receive during budget time. So we should have an idea of what our payment structure should look like
within the next 2 weeks,
or at least by the end of the month. Any questions?
Question for Steve.
In regards to the lunch form to fill out, even if you know you're not going to qualify, was there something about still filling out the form so you get some sort of credit towards that, or was that something else I'm thinking of?
I think that is the same thing. Double check, but I want to say that everyone.
I think the message to everyone fill it out. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm not going to qualify," but you'd be surprised that you might qualify based on other criteria. So the more people we get to fill it out, the more likely we're like. More likely we're to get someone who doesn't think they're going to qualify, but will qualify.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Important to have the information on file too, so at some point if you do decide, if you do end up qualifying, we do have a majority of the information already there. Most of it's already set up in the state websites.
Okay. So even if you're pretty sure you're not going to qualify, still do it.
Yeah, and encourage people to qualify and say that, you know, I qualified, you know, because there's sometimes a pride factor, and so, you know, I'm not going to qualify for it. You know, I work well. We need you to qualify because it could really help. We need you to apply because it could really help.
Yeah.
We need you to qualify. And there's no shame in applying and qualifying because we're this close. We can just get to that. Everybody will do it. Good question. Anything else?
Okay. Based by the sound, if federal government doesn't step up, they'll probably leave the 20% in place.
Yes.
So we probably should just plan on 20%.
I am planning on that right now. Definitely always going to plan for the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're looking at the 20% cuts.
And I think that if they don't get the 20% now, it'll get it one way or the other.
What's that?
If the federal government does come through and they don't get the 20% now, they've got that note in their mind, they're going to get it one way or the other. So come next budget, you know, I think we're going to have to plan these next 3 or 4 years how to recoup that 20%. Anything else? Steve, how's your first week?
Good. Good, busy. Good answer. The cafeteria is doing really well. Dave and his staff are doing a great job. they spent a lot of time getting all of the partitions and sneeze guards and everything put into place that final week. I know the general consensus has been pretty positive on those. They look really nice. We're pretty good job. I know some of the night cleaning and deep cleaning has been going really well. We have the appropriate clean supplies and disinfecting sprayers to help expedite the process a little bit. I know they're cleaning high touch areas twice during every day, trying to make sure that if people are touching certain things, touching doorknobs, handles, that we're constantly cleaning and constantly disinfecting.
Cool.
No, they look
good. Stuff.
Right. Jim and I checked out a couple classrooms. They look good.
They do. Very well designed. Nice job, Steve. Seeing nothing else, we will jump on to the next administrator's report. And it looks like Mr. Story's on the top.
My report's highlighted in yellow. It's a different title on it, but when the cohorts were created, we started with School Tool has capability to separate them by class or by address of the students. So once that they separated the students, I then asked my secretary to go through and calculate how many students, for example, in kindergarten, did School Tool separate into cohort A and how many were in B. So we took, for example, a kindergarten teacher's classroom, and if that teacher has 20 students, 4 might be in cohort B and 16 in cohort A, based on School Tool's random placing them to the group. She then went through and evened the numbers with my assistance. So if she moved a student from kindergarten classroom from a B to an A, she found all the siblings of that student and moved all those students to an A. And did that for the next student and the next student and the next student until that classroom was evenly, as best as possible, cohorted. And then did it for the next kindergarten class, first grade, second grade, and so on. So that each sibling was then placed or made sure they were all placed in the same cohort. School Tool did a lot of that, but you still have some other glitches, like a family whose one sibling lives in one home with dad and the other one lives with mom, and then you just gotta make sure they're all placed together. So then we went through, I went through with the special education department, and we determined the students in most in need, and those are the cohort C students. Most would be special education services. There are some English language learners and some who struggled with the online learning portion. Many of our classrooms are maxed out with the social distancing rules. So our numbers are high in eighth grade, seventh grade borders, but eighth grade, fifth grade, third grade, and kindergarten. The numbers look very good, like in the 40s and 45. So those classes, once you take into consideration the evenly cohorted groups and then start adding the cohort C, which is the 4 days a week, it gets them maxed out for the social distancing aspect of the classroom. Cohort D are our virtual learners. parents contacted me about this, and they were then sent a form that they had to sign that was a commitment until the end of the second quarter. That way, if they changed their mind in November, they weren't allowed to come in because we've already created the cohort where we've maxed out the classrooms as well. So they are committed to a two-quarter online virtual learning where it's 100% virtual. And if you add up all of the numbers, you have 466 students, and that percentage is 8.8%. Today we started pre-K. We have 27 students attending for half days. There are 14 in the morning and 13 in the afternoon. When we met with Mr. Gleason 2 weeks ago, maybe, with his assistance, he calculated the fact that we felt we could, based on the number of parents driving kids, we felt that we could provide education every day for those students. And he could transport them as well with the combination of the parents providing transportation. So all 27 students, 14 morning, 13 in the afternoon, are coming all 4 days, half day, the traditional pre-K model.
Excellent.
Yes, yep. And then I, special announcement, and I received parent permission from a fifth grade student's mother. So the parent has given me permission to use the student's name tonight. So I just want to clarify that. So in July, Maria Cabrera asked her mother if she could petition Governor Cuomo to allow schools to reopen in September. At the time, there was no formal announcement. She also asked her mother if she could collect money for masks to be purchased by the school for students in need. She spent a few weeks going door to door collecting money and petition signatures. Her petition slogan was "Mask or no mask, send us back." She collected 29 signatures, and then the governor announced that we could reopen. And $120 in donations from various businesses and individuals. So about 10 days ago, we received a check in the amount of $120 to be used for the purchase of student masks. So I just wanted, or we wanted to send a special thank you. I don't know if you're on, Amelia, but I know you're going to watch the video of it, to Amelia Cabrera for thinking of others during this difficult pandemic. Amelia, you are a Panther strong.
I hope you are listening, Amelia. The Board of Education and our entire district gives you a big Panther round of applause. It's very nice of you, and it sounds like you had a busy summer, or you get back to this summer. So thanks again, and best of luck this school year. I hope you're enjoying being back, and we hope that your entire school year is a success. So thank you, Amelia, and thank you, Scott, for reporting on that.
Okay.
Amongst everything, we have a lot to be proud of. Our students are number one. Amelia, you are an example of that. So we will now jump into any, not to be dismissed, any questions for Scott's report? Mr. Story's off the hook, so we'll jump over to Ashley's report.
All right. My report, I think Sally handed out to you, it says professional development for teachers at the top. The first day of when the teachers reported on Tuesday, the teachers participated in a 2-hour health and safety training surrounding new protocols in the building. During this time, they were able to ask questions and get answers to their questions. So that went over really well. We did it not just for teachers, but all different groups in our school. On Wednesday, September 2nd, we did 4 different 40-minute professional development sessions. Screencastify was by Mrs. Bibbins. Google Slides and Pear Deck was by Mrs. Bingle. Google Classroom and Google Meets was by Mrs. Bean. And then I did Parent Square. And the teachers rotated. So they did a 40-minute session, then they cleaned the desks, then they rotate to the next one. And you can see on your sheet what each is. But they were very well received by our teachers, and we got a lot of really positive feedback from them, their colleagues that presented, and the content that was given to them. So that was really great last 2 weeks ago. Another remote learning update. Students' email is an important part of improving remote learning for the 2020-2021 school year. We did not have student email last year. By having it this year, it's going to allow our teachers to reach out directly to students in grades 6 through 12. It also allows the students to email teachers. This will obviously strengthen the teacher and student communication. The directions were given to Cohort B on Friday, and then Cohort A, they will be distributed tomorrow. So then those students will go through and set up their emails during their first period class. I know that there has been some concerns from parents that students haven't been able to access remotely for lessons. Our teachers have been working hard on getting everyone set up. Student email will help to increase communication between teachers and students when students need help. So Google Classroom is what our teachers are primarily using for any remote type of lessons or those days where students are home for remote learning. What is Google Classroom? It's an online dashboard where teachers are able to post assignments for students to complete. add video recordings of lessons or links for students to participate in a live lesson. Students connect to Google, how do students connect to Google Classroom? Last week and today would probably have been the last day, teachers have been providing students with classroom codes when they're in their physical classroom. So if your child came today and today was their first day in a Monday class, the teacher was able to provide those students with a code to join that class. For our remote learners, teachers were reaching out to their parents via email and providing the parents with a code to give to the child to then join the class. Google fits in perfectly with the policy enclosed as it mentions the different types of learning for this year. There's synchronous learning, which is in-person classes, live lessons that are being done, where the whole class can be together and get the same content at the same time. And then there's asynchronous learning, where this is more student-centered. The teacher is going to put things in a Google Classroom, whether that's a video or an assignment, and the student kind of goes about the lesson on their own. That would be more the asynchronous, so they're engaged at their own pace. And then finally, there's packets that are also going home, and this is primarily with our K-2 students because they're so young. We know we don't have the devices yet to provide them with, but the teachers are sending home packets with them weekly with specific instructions as to this is what needs to be done this day, this is what needs to be done on that, the next day. And then the packets can come back to school, sit for a certain period of time, and then the teachers can go through them, offer the students feedback, and they can be sent home with that student. The deployment of hotspots. The hotspots arrived last week. Rich and I will be working on assigning these specific hotspots tomorrow, because we do have to go in and assign them to whomever it is taking it home with them. Once the hotspots are assigned, we will reach out to our families, letting them know that they may be picked up by our remote learners. And the ones that are in person, we can send the hotspot home with that child that day. Our athletic update. The Frontier League is determining what is going to happen with our league and athletics. At this time, we're still waiting to hear from them, so I don't have any guidance pertaining to that.
Questions for Ashley? So up until now, our students never had hands or emails.
Correct.
Interesting. I think that's a good thing in general.
Mm-hmm.
When did it stop? We had emails when I was in school. That's what we provided. So somewhere between then and now.
So I could probably provide a little bit of a background on, from what I know, from a technology standpoint, and why emails did take a little bit longer to push back out. I know when some of our technology was set up, it was set up on two different platforms, so Microsoft and Google, and they didn't necessarily talk to each other. So there was a lot of back end work that we had to do in order to get that to work and continue to sync with all of the Google information that they have, so they didn't lose that as well.
It's interesting, Cal, because I never had one.
We did.
We were close. I mean, what was yours? Do you remember?
What was my email?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. I thought we had it.
I'm impressed that you remember, so I thought maybe it had a lasting impression. I thought that. I remember. You still use it. Any other questions for Ashley's report? How's attendance working? So if you're supposed to sign on, something doesn't happen, they didn't get a link or an invite. Is that happening? I'm hearing, and I'm hearing a little bit of it, and I expect that my response is, well, let's get through the first couple of weeks to get the bugs out. But is that happening, or are you hearing from parents?
That's a great question that I'm going to let Mr. Story answer, because I know he's directly dealing with attendance.
Yeah, just deferring.
Today, Tara and Stephanie Gillette worked on cleaning up school tool. That's what I call it, cleaning it up. So, school tool, for whatever reason, had, for example, if there's a one English 10 class second period, there might be three different class rosters for English 10 for that second period. And like I said, for whatever reason. So they spent most of the day today cleaning that up so that the student rosters are in one section for English 10 second period. So for attendance purposes, now teachers can take attendance for in-person and remote learning all in the same section. You don't have to flip through three or four different sections. You don't have to find cohort D and C and A and all these others. Additionally, we're provided guidance that what most schools are doing is, for attendance purposes, the teacher marks the student present for the remote learner. And then when the remote learner, if the remote learner completes the work, maybe not at the exact same time that class is held, but completes the work, then the student remains present. The teacher has the capability for the students who don't participate or show that the work was completed on the day assigned, then the teacher has the capability to mark them absent because they didn't go on virtually to do it. That is the guidance we've been given, that most schools are following that.
Right now, we're wrinkling out some bugs because maybe some people aren't getting invited, but they're online.
The code part is, I'm not real familiar with the code part.
The code part, if there's problems, the people are still having problems joining a class, like a class isn't viewable in their dashboard, I would definitely recommend for the student or the parent to email the teacher directly, so that the teacher can provide them with the code. And then that would hopefully get the kid in the class. The little box would show up in the dashboard and they would just join.
Or they definitely have seen less of those throughout the week. Like it started off where there weren't many. We've had less phone calls regarding that.
But I'm specifically talking about the, so 8 a.m. is when the school starts, the attendance piece. So I understand, so maybe first period,
yep.
Scott Story has math, that's where your attendance is taken at 8 a.m., right?
Correct.
Your attendance for the day is taken then?
Correct. So that, so if I'm a teacher and I have 10 students in front of me, they're all there, so they're all marked present, then I'm going to mark the virtual learners present, and then in my Google Classroom is their assignment for the day, or they're logged on at 8 a.m.
Really. Yeah, so like cohort B, who wasn't here today at 8 a.m., they need to be, you do attendance for them at 8 a.m. Not at their 10 o'clock English class, but at 8 a.m. their attendance is done for math. So.
Correct. They're supposed to log on.
So they need to have an invite, or that needs to be in their dashboard. And if it isn't, then they're marked absent.
Nope, the invite is
the invite's
one
just to
time.
Join the class.
Once you're into one of the classrooms,
there's
you should be in one of the classrooms every time you log in.
So there shouldn't be an attendance issue then?
Not if they've gotten in at once. Sorry, I'm trying to like take this
that's
back
correct.
To the...
That's
yeah.
correct.
There's
I've been there for the morning coffee and the 8 a.m. login.
Okay.
Yep, that's exactly right.
The teacher
yeah.
would have a link
once
in the classroom.
Once you're in, you're in. Once you're in, you're in.
Yes.
Okay. The kids just need to log on at 8 a.m. in the morning. They might not... Like today we had technical difficulties.
But there might
so
be people that aren't in yet.
Well, that's what I get what you're. Has there been any thought to, because I got really good feedback on the meetings we did. Has there been talk about maybe doing another couple of them next week to invite parents back in and ask more questions if they're still having problems?
That's a great idea.
And that
that's a very good idea.
Okay.
We'd be more than happy to
okay.
do that, and I think we could arrange that like on a Monday night or something.
Excellent point.
Give your, do a couple things like you did last time,
yeah.
a couple different times.
Yep.
Questions.
Invite everybody in. The wife really loved it. You
okay.
guys answered questions.
Okay.
We got
that's
good feedback about that once we got them in.
Good,
great idea.
Good point, Adam.
So,
like
and then
yeah.
just next time we send a message out, say, hey, we're having these. If you're having issues and can't deal with it,
yeah.
just know we're not going to be really tough people until...
Right.
right. We're all still working through this.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Adam is Panther strong. That's impressive. That's good.
Well, I'm trying to bridge a gap between you and them over there talking administration.
I
I'm
still,
like,
I
okay.
still read the hard paper every day in the picture.
No, because I remember
well,
we had...
don't get it on Mondays anymore. You know, forever you got it on Mondays. It's only 6 days a week now.
Yeah. No, because it was, we had the
Monday,
we had the same challenge.
You read Sundays again?
Yeah. You read all the cards.
Actually, I read Dennis the Medicine Monday mornings. I don't know why. Anyways. Okay, so any other questions for Ash's report?
Just to go back to the parent meetings, was it effective to have meetings at three different times the way we did?
Yes, because you got across the group, right? You got... parents that may work really early till midday, may work midday till really late, may work the normal 9 to 5. So yeah, no, it seemed to have.
If you think of something else.
Yep.
They could go back out again, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I forgot to ask.
If they think of something, I don't.
Excellent.
Or if a question comes that caught you off guard, you don't have the information for it, you may have it for the next 2 sessions.
Yeah, okay, good, excellent.
In regards to the sports there, I see an article was posted today at 4:30 saying that the fall sports were moving ahead.
That's a, that was section three.
Yeah, I think that's section.
Yeah, that's, that was section three.
Okay.
And now the leagues have to look at what they're gonna do.
Gotcha.
Would you like me to go next?
Are there any other questions for Scott's report? Or Ash, or I'm sorry, Ash's report? Okay, so we're gonna jump into Jane's report, number four.
Okay, mine will be redundant with things that you've heard already. Basically, the master schedule was a significant shift for us. And once we were able to create classes with students in them, we had to go through a process to make some adjustments to those. And now we're still in the process of like ironing out other things that we had to do after the master schedule was done, such as lunch duties, study halls, assignment of special education, AIS classes, and special area assignments. So I just, if you hear things where kids are moved from this period to that period, or if teachers are saying they haven't gotten their schedule finalized yet, the answer is yes. We're still in the first, you know, week of school here, and it's going to take us at least until the end of this week to get that all ironed out. So,
and that's kind of similar to what a little bit I am hearing. I'm just saying, you know, get us through a couple of weeks, but people are nervous. You know, they're, am I going to be marked absent, or, you know, am I going to get in trouble because like my math class didn't work? And I'm saying no, but give it a couple of weeks. But
yeah. Mr. Story assures you, as do I, that students will not be penalized for not having been in class yet. We cannot.
But soon they're going to be.
Yes.
Right.
Soon they will be. And a lot of what teachers should be covering is health protocols and all those things that we instructed them to do in the first days of school. Washing hands, proper hygiene, all those significant shifts in education that are going on and how we were running schools. So I wanted the board to know that. This remote learning, what Ashley presented tonight about remote learning, it's spot on in the training that we're doing for teachers and what they need for skills with what that those board policies are talking about. So compliments to Ashley for leading the charge with coordinating a great day on September 2nd for our own teachers to be helping their colleagues. We have some very talented teachers here who did workshops for other teachers. Our teachers are very comfortable when that happens because they ask questions and then they reach out to our teachers after those sessions and say, will you help me with this or that? And Ashley has done a remarkable job setting that up. And teachers are continuing to help their colleagues. So remote learning is getting strengthened here, you know, compliments to our teachers for taking all this on too. Attendance, we've talked about just a few minutes ago. Kids will not be penalized, and Mr. Story is working on that, and that is a heavy lift along with the master schedule because of how things are changing. So, but we're getting there, and we're doing it in a timely fashion. What I'm hearing from other people, from other schools, we are not behind, we are ahead. Just know that. You may be getting feedback from people, what about this, what about that, why aren't we ready? Folks, we are ahead. This is a significant shift for all schools, and we are in a good place. I wanted the board to know that. But we appreciate all your help and all your questions to us so that we can continue to get the information out there. So
That's just a summary, and I didn't want to go on any further than that today, but I would ask for an executive session to discuss a legal, potential legal matter.
So, at this time, any questions for James' report?
So far, has any student or staff been turned away from the building?
In terms of?
Temperatures, side effects,
At this point in time, I think that's a personnel, that's a FERPA and HIPAA issue that I really, at this point in time, don't feel comfortable addressing. Because of
But you could get that information in executive session.
I could, I would be more than happy to give you what I know in executive session, without getting particular or personal with any person.
Without naming any particular situations, but you could give us a general summary.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that.
We can address that in executive session.
Yes.
I have a quick question. I don't know how it is for the elementary classrooms and stuff for the high school. Is, what's the average class size on, you know, on any given day, you know?
In the elementary, it's different than the high school.
Right, is the high school a lot smaller?
It's pretty consistent in the elementary, could range anywhere from like 8 kids to 15, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, person 14 might be the highest, but yeah, it's.
14 is the highest.
And is the high school a lot smaller?
The high school could, it depends on the class.
Like eighth grade English is at 14.
Is it, okay.
In a couple of them. And then some of them are as low as 1 or 2, until I relook at who they are and how we can juggle it. But those students may be locked in due to special education services to certain periods.
Or family cohort assignments.
Well, I know my daughter has 2 different classes, or one, she's 1 of 3. And then today, I think she has it tomorrow, she, it was just her and another girl, but I think there were supposed to be 2 other kids in there. Which I'm gonna look at this as a pro, maybe there's gonna be more of that, you know, one-on-one almost kind of thing with the teacher and stuff. So even though you're only 2 days, you might be getting a better, you know, education kind of a thing than normally.
Especially if it's curriculum intensive.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to look at it positively, yeah.
Another thing that's going on is the teachers in the high school are going through this shift with teaching 90 minutes. So we've talked, we're talking with BOCES about taking a Wednesday and providing them with some professional development online, a virtual professional development on how to teach in the block. Used to be called block scheduling, 90 minutes, like we're doing. So we had 5 of our teachers participate in that training through BOCES this summer, and Ashley's working on that.
Yeah, I think I have a date nailed down, not this Wednesday, but I think the following Wednesday for an hour. That's the length of time that the teacher from BOCES can do it. That's how she traditionally does it, and then allow time after that for people to be able to stay and ask questions after she's given them some information.
So a lot of what you'll see too is for virtual training going on in terms of professional development this year versus people going to BOCES for meetings. And it'll be shorter but specific. And I think that's really good too. We'll need fewer subs. That's what we'll probably do it on Wednesdays.
I personally have not heard anything negative so far this year, so.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Any other questions particular to James' report? General questions, anything that needs to be researched? So what I'd like to do at this time, we're gonna go into executive session for a personnel matter regarding Mr. Gerke's question, and also potential legal matter. I anticipate it to be a quick executive session. When we come out, I want to take a few minutes as a board when we regroup to discuss our goals and revisit our workshop from a month ago from NISBA's representative, and we'll do that open session. But it will, I want to get through executive session first and end on a note of goals and teamwork. This time I entertain a motion to enter executive session to discuss those 2 things, legal matter, potential legal matter, and a personnel at 7:55 p.m. Been moved by Kristen, seconded by Tony. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 6-0. Session at 8:45 p.m. Is there anything else to come before this meeting? running a bit later than anticipated, so we will start our next meeting at 6:30. So the board can have a workshop and discussion around board goals. Anything else come before the meeting? Good meeting to all of you whose students or children are in school. I wish them the best of luck. To our faculty and staff on this side of the boardroom, thanks for all you've done, and glad to hear that the start is off to a good start. Keep up the good work. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. We need to get a hold of us in the meantime. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment at 8:47.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
Roger Eastman in place of Mr. Bartlett, with the second of Chris. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carried 6-0. This meeting is adjourned.